This is a prayer treatment for the purpose of examining my own consciousness to see if it really is a reflection of the consciousness of God, the Christ consciousness, the perfect consciousness, thinking only perfectly about everyone and everything. Jesus, when he saw someone that was in need, he did not look upon them as being defective, but only the view about him being defective by those around him and those that were a part of his life. Jesus cleared up the consciousness of everyone that had thoughts on him so that they would see him as he is, as God's image and likeness, not as someone that was defective, as a human being that was of the progeny of the fake reality, which is Adam and Eve. Who would ever believe that a man or a woman, whether a child or an adult, or an embryo, could come from a man's rib? But yet that's what chapter 2, starting with verse 4, says about the origin of humankind. If we look at Genesis chapter 1, starting with verse 26, it says, God made man in his image and likeness. And man is a generic term meaning both male and female, both man, woman, as well as child. That means that everyone is brethren because we all came from the same Father, Mother, God. Jesus knew that. He practiced it. He lived it. He proved it to be true by healing. And that's the same thing that the expert Christian Scientists did. Frederick L. Rawson was probably the most advanced of all, for he could even go back in time and heal. Heal when whatever the problem is first became obvious to the individual that was the supposed victim. He did it over 500 times. Proved it. He had appointments that were only 15 minutes long. At the end of 15 minutes, the individual was healed. The same with Wentworth Winslow and Joel Goldsmith. 15-minute appointments. Every hour, Mary Baker Eddy examined her own consciousness, and she's the best example we can follow because there's records about her, whereas Jesus, the records are very sparse. And even though there's a lot written in only a 3-year period in his ministry, it's still minor compared to what we have with Mary Baker Eddy. We have a 700-page textbook. We have 16 other books that probably add up to, I don't know, maybe another 1,000 pages. In fact, more than that, because just two of them, Miscellaneous Writings, is around 400 or so pages, and also Miscellany is another 400 or some pages. So there's 800 or 900 pages just in two additional books. And then she's got 14 other books. So we've got a lot of text compared to what we have for Jesus. If we're made, as the Bible tells us, what does Mary Baker Eddy say? On 591, it says that man is infinite spirit. And also the compound idea of mind. She describes God on page 465 as incorporeal, divine, supreme, and infinite. Mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, love. And on page 587, God is the great I am, all-knowing, all-seeing, all-acting, all-wise, all-loving and eternal. Principle, mind, soul, spirit, life, truth, love, all-substance, intelligence. On the same page, 587, definition of good. Good means God, spirit, omnipotence, omniscience, omnipresence, and omniaction. Omniscience means omni-intelligence, omni-wisdom, and omni-knowing. Since God is omni-action, can there be any premature or delayed action or a fallacy in action? When we consider that God is spirit, spirit is defined as flawless. It's not like matter. Matter is not only flawed, but the whole thing is a dream that is falsely presenting reality. It's a dream. It's not real. It's fantasy land. It's a delusion. And we must recognize that that's exactly what anything is that is contrary to the perfection of God. Do I have anything in my thought? Now's the time to be examining it. Is there a single individual that I think did something wrong, whether it was against me or someone else, or even against themselves? Is that my business? If they're a dependent of mine, like a child, yes. Someone that is relying on me for one reason or another, and I accept that as being my duty, yes. Their well-being is then part of my responsibility that I've accepted. But other than those very narrow definitions, it's not my business. No one else is my business. I am my business. How can I possibly permit anything in my consciousness that is contrary to perfection? Mary Baker Eddy says that infinite progression is concrete being. Isaiah says precept upon precept, line upon line, here a little, there a little. That's an abbreviation. He repeats the first two phrases. When are we going to take a stand for our own consciousness? And we don't own it because we are a reflection of God. Do we really want to be a reflection of God? Do we want to fit into the mold of a perfect consciousness? Or do we want to go off on the deep end and let materialism take a big chunk of our conscious thought? God is incorporeal, divine, supreme, and infinite. Incorporeal. Not a brain. No, All thinking, all thoughts, all creative ability, everything to do with mind comes from God, the mind of God. That is the only mind there is because it's omni. Everything about God is omni. Because there's nothing but God. Omni simply means one, only, and all. There's no competition because there is nothing else but God. There's no opposition because God is the only power. Since there is no opposition or competition, shouldn't our focus not be on someone else, but on God, the only real source? In fact, the only anything. All of manifestation, which means all existence, which means everything in it as well, it all belongs to God. God is not a person. God is the existence of operating laws and rules of everything that exists. All truth is about God. We are merely a little speck of the 8.3 billion people in the world. And our duty is to follow God as closely as we understand. Mary Baker Eddy prayed hourly for this same purpose that this extemporaneous prayer treatment that you are listening to has as its goal. Infinite progression is concrete being. And if we just do a little bit at a time, like Isaiah suggests, precept upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line, here a little, there a little. And Mary Baker Eddy repeats that quote from Isaiah as an introduction to chapter 14. And chapter 14 is entitled Recapitulation, which is a summary of the first 13 chapters. And that is the last chapter of Science and Health. She has it divided into two sections. The second section is entitled Key to the Scriptures. And that begins with chapter 15, going through 18, with 15 being about Genesis, the beginning of Revelation, Apocalypse, the most advanced understanding of Revelation, and then 100 pages of testimonies of people that were healed by merely a deep study and living of what it teaches in the textbook. Are we willing to do that in order to transform our lives into a brand new dimension that we never even dreamed existed? One in which everything is perfect. One in which there are no accidents, no chaos, no corruption, no evil in any form. Planet Earth, as well as the stellar system, is going through this kind of cleansing right now. We are extremely grateful, extremely fortunate, and we should be grateful for the opportunity to be experiencing this right now. The entire world became corrupt. The Noah flood. My Baker Eddy refers to it as the Great Flood. Was for the purpose of starting over. She refers to the Antediluvians. They lived over 900 years. She says, if we had progress since the end of the flood, absolutely not. She refers to the medical. Our average lifetime has been declining. If somebody reaches 100, they are in a very small decimal, very tiny percentage of the population. Only 100 years old. Only 1/9 of what the Antediluvians were living. What has been the focus of so-called humanity? There's only two possible kinds of substance. One is the real substance, which is spirit, and the other is its opposite, which is unreal, which is matter. And yet, what is a huge majority of our time devoted to believing and living as if it was the real substance? How many do you know of that study 1 hour a day, every day, to advance their spiritual understanding and don't let anything interfere? That's only 1 out of 24 hours. That is 4.1666 ad infinitum percent. So let's say 4.2%. That's only 1 hour. Richard Strain went to a practitioner because he just didn't know what to do. He was working 18 hours a day, putting forth 100% effort. Everything he had, he was putting into that 18 hours. And when he got home, he was exhausted. Ate, prepared to go to bed, slept, got up, prepared for the day, ate, and left. In and out of the door in 6 hours. And he wasn't making any progress. Do you think his focus may have been on matter or spirit? If one is really devoting 18 hours a day to spirit, learning about God, learning about the real man, the reflection of God, which is God's image and likeness, and living it to see everyone, including oneself, as being perfect, Do you think he would have gone to a practitioner to find out how to solve his problem? He would be able to solve his problem so quickly, instantaneously as they arose, if he was devoting 18 hours a day to the study of God and man and the relationship, the real man, the true man, the one that is described on page 591 of the textbook. Compound idea of spirit, infinite spirit, compound idea of mind. And we know mind is infinite. Even on a human level, which is a fake, we don't have any limitation about what we can think. We can instantly think that we're on the moon, or Mars, or on the other side of planet Earth, or doing our absolute favorite activity, whatever that may be. Mary Baker Eddy transported herself. Jesus transported himself. Jesus walked on water. Mary Baker Eddy walked above the material life. She was attacked constantly, just as was Jesus. But did she yield to her so-called enemies? Or did she love continuously, regardless of the attacks? She wrote an article, Love Your Enemies, and she thought that was so important that she began that on page 8 of her very comprehensive book called Miscellaneous Writings. It was so important she started it right at the beginning, on page 8, well, almost at the beginning. Where do we start thinking about God? When do we start thinking about God? When Mr. Strain went to the practitioner, he told her his woes about the 18-hour day working. She said, when do you study? Four words. When do you study? He had a one-word answer. Never. If you do not study 5 hours a day, you will not get out of your problem. So what, 15 or 20 words? And the 5 words at the beginning. So let's say in 30 words, she said all she said in the whole conversation. She didn't have anything else to say. She's like Jesus recommends. Don't argue. Just say yay, yay, or nay, nay. Make it very brief and to the point. When Jesus was accused of being so little by the devil in the way the devil treated him, thinking he would be able to trick him, 3 times he tried to trick Jesus. And Jesus, if he would have yielded to what most everyone on earth yields to in terms of suggestion and lets the evil get its foot in the door, pretty soon comes all the way in and then spoils everything in the house. Mary Baker Eddy says, keep our door locked and close tightly. Just as we would bar our door against thieves and murderers. We need to guard our door of thought against thieves and murderers who are trying to steal the good thoughts and trying to blemish a consciousness if it has any purity in it. Mr. Strain was in a dilemma. Is he going to somehow get along with 1 hour to do everything he needs to do and devoting 5 of those 6 hours to studying the greatest thing anyone could ever study about God and man and the true relationship between the real man and the one and only real God? Or is he going to continue along the path where he doesn't study anything? He just keeps going around in circles, getting nowhere. He had to make a choice. She said it with such profoundness and with such an absolute authority. He apparently didn't feel he could leave her office without making a commitment, even if he had no idea how he was going to accomplish it. So he told her, "Okay, I'm going to do it." He does not explain if he had any ideas, but he knew he didn't have any other way to go. And if she said he had to study 5 hours a day, and he went to her as what he believed to be the very best source to solve his problem, and boy, did she solve it. With those few words of 25 or 30, she solved his problem. She only made the statement of truth. The very first quote at the beginning of Science and Health says, "Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." And of course we know, all we have to do is read the words. If we're going to be free, then we're going to be free of everything that tries to limit us. We're going to be open to the infinite. No limit on what we can reflect from God. And God is infinity, totally. He reported back later that by the end of 1 week of studying 5 hours a day, it made such an impact on his consciousness that he was able to get more done in less time at work and had no problem studying 5 hours a day. Because he opened his thought to what needed to be done, which was really a statement of truth, it wasn't a lie, he was able to live what he was doing. He lived with a normal allocation of time to activities that were not work. He stepped out of the rat race into the race where you only pay attention to what you are doing and comparing it to perfection only, not to anyone else, not to a standard that someone else has, not to what someone thinks of you. That doesn't mean anything. What you are thinking and saying, if you talk at all, and doing, if you're taking any actions, that is what matters. Jesus said thinking about something is the same as doing it. How many skeletons do we all have in our closet where we were thinking about something we're ashamed of? We should be ashamed if we're thinking about sleeping if we need to get something done. Ashamed about any ill thought about anyone, any time, about anything. It does not matter what we are thinking about one iota. If it is unlike God, it should not be a single moment of thought. Doesn't matter what the topic is. It can be 99% perfect, but we have to have that little white lie in our life. Or, yeah, we have to give that frown to somebody that we think made a big mistake, as if we've never made a mistake. Are we walking on water? I've never met anyone that was. Certainly I don't. I strive for improvement in my spiritual understanding all the time. Well, not all the time, but certainly a lot. Recording in your voice the original text of anything you read that is high level, and I'm putting number one as the textbook of Christian Science and the other writings as number two of Mary Baker Eddy. She wrote 16 other books. And how about the Bible? Robert C. Putnam is probably number two only to Mary Baker Eddy on being a Bible scholar. He took class from Bliss Knapp. Bliss Knapp was raised by Mary Baker Eddy from the time he was 7 or 8 years old. He was the son of Ira and Flavia Knapp, and Ira was one of Mary Baker Eddy's first lecturers, and Flavia was his wife and the mother of Bliss, and she was getting along very well in Christian Science and had a tragic accident. No fault of her own. It was the fault of mortal mind being jealous and envious. Are we going to do that? Are we going to follow along the path that will give our self-improvement a continuous lift? Because if we make a dedicated effort to learn about God and man and the true relationship, we cannot just parcel out ourselves. We have to have that thought of perfection about everyone and everything. And that's exactly what Mary Baker Eddy did on an hourly basis to remind herself of that fact. And that there's nothing else that is real about themselves or anyone else or any event or anything in the entire existence. And that covers everything. All existence covers all. All. Nothing. Nothing is left out. It doesn't matter what kind of a powerful telescope that you can utilize, like the Hubble. Now they've got a new one. But it is positioned out in space above the Earth's atmosphere, apparently. I don't know anything about astronomy, but it's supposed to have opened up the heavens for photography and getting facts about what's going on out there. Can we look even within our own consciousness with precision to get rid of anything at all that is less than perfect about anyone, about ourselves? We have a button on the website at the top of every page in the header section entitled Heal Everything. We give you a procedure that if you follow it, you will be able to do exactly that. Exactly that. We guarantee it. Do you have the discipline to be a genius? You know what a genius is. They're not born with anything that you don't have access to. Because the only mind is not in a brain. The only real mind is the mind of God. And there's no limit to the mind of God. And that means that you have the discipline available to you through divine principle, which is a quality of God, which gives you a structure and a system. And mind enlightens you on how to follow it, how to recognize it. And spirit gives you the substance that is infallible, so you don't have to worry about the flaws of a life of matter. Because it teaches you how to have a life of spirit, a pure life, a flawless life. And soul teaches you how to properly identify everything looking through the lens of spirit. In other words, our seeing, hearing, feeling, tasting, and smelling. From a spiritual foundation, we can identify the truth. We can distinguish between truth and error, between right and wrong, between real and unreal, between spiritual and material, love and hate, principle and chaos, life and death, love being the fulfillment. And if we reflect love, we will automatically want to nurture everything to fulfillment, which means infinite progression. Because fulfillment can only be described in degrees. It's impossible to get to 100% because there's no 100% of infinity. But wow, do we have a wonderful, joyful ride all the way, all the time. Do we think we've accomplished something great when we have completed a project? Doesn't matter what it is. The real thrill, the real excitement, the fulfillment is when you're on the path, not when you accomplish something. I mean, it's a letdown. The energy and everything that is devoted to bring forth progress is so much more fulfilling than getting to the end. It's like when you get to the end, you say, is this all there is? Is this it? I know someone that was studying about atomic energy, and when they got to the end of it and got their PhD, the very day they were awarded the PhD certification the very day they had an inspiration to move to another country and help people that were in need, just like a missionary. Totally never practiced what he worked so hard to get a PhD degree in that subject. Nuclear energy. That's what it was about. He had no interest in it. Once he got his PhD degree, he wasn't interested in taking a single job. You probably know somebody that's been very successful. They're around. If you don't know them, you can read about them. If you want to be really successful in some kind of a material activity, I used to love playing tennis. I played 4 or 5 hours a day, almost every day of the year, for several years. I loved it. If you want to really be good at something, you need to take lessons continuously. You need to practice continuously. You need to study about the principles of the topic. Ashkenazi, Vladimir was his first name, a Russian. He was deemed to be one of the finest pianists that ever existed. And he was asked during one of his performances that he gave a little time to questions and answers. He was asked, how could he perform with such perfection? What do you think his answer was? Practice, practice, practice. Until the music plays me. He had to get himself out of the way and let the music play him until he could think like the composer must have been thinking when he wrote the music. Think like the composer expected it to be performed. He let that channel through him. If you really want to understand something that someone writes in a publication, you have to know everything about them. You have to be able to put yourself in their position when they wrote the publication. Otherwise, you're on the outside looking in. And if it's something you think is really valuable and you want to utilize it in your life, whether it's in your profession or your personal life or whatever, you need to live it. I already mentioned that one of the things you need to do is to record the original text. Well, there's a lot more than that. And we have it completely outlined under Heal Everything. In the menu, or just click the button and you're there immediately. If you want to experience more success in the way you accomplish things, increase your expertise in time management, in goal management, in how to read a book, in how to listen properly, to learn better from your listening. These skills can all be sharpened up, and with the wonderful advent of the internet about 30 years ago, we have an enormous advantage over what almost everyone that has been a human being had available to them. Imagine what it would be without a printing press, a copy machine, a scanning machine. I mean, we don't even use them anymore. We just take a picture. Most people carry around a cell phone. If they want something, they take a picture of it, and then they can do with what they want. They can use it for comparing prices or comparing features or whatever. They have cell phones that are basically like a computer. Frederick L. Rawson wrote a book, Treatment or Healing by True Prayer. In it, there's a chapter of applied treatment, about 200 pages. He covers 1,315 ailments, and he covers the spiritual opposite to what the problem is that you need to focus on in order to heal it. And that's exactly what Mary Baker Eddy tells us. We have to dig to find what the problem is, and then we have to combat it by affirming the truth that negates the evil, the error, the misapprehension, the wrong view, which emphasizes the problem instead of the solution. Einstein says you can never solve a problem on the same level of where the problem is. The problem wouldn't have occurred if you were on a different level. So you got to go to that level, whatever it is, in order to solve it. I am so grateful for every little bit of spiritual enlightenment that I've received from every source. And there's a lot of them. And yet I feel I'm just maybe earning my way to the entrance to begin learning. We have to make it our own. We have to live it. And above all, we have to learn to live a life of giving instead of taking. It seems that everybody wants to take. Everybody wants to get something for nothing. Everyone wants to get something that they did not earn through hard work and dedication and perseverance and vision and everything else you need to exercise in order to get from here to there. God is capable of everything. Everything is possible to God. If it's a wholesome activity, there's no limit. All we have to do is put self aside and learn how to recognize and live the truth. And it's all tucked in the pages, 700 in all, of the textbook of Christian Science and her other writings and the Bible. And we've got it all covered from our website. I'm going to close this prayer treatment with a statement by Mary Baker Eddy, a prayer treatment, really, a short one. And it's so important, she says, we need to repeat it often. Interpret that the way you want. What is often? And what does she mean by repeat it? Certainly repeating words do no good whatsoever. I went into a Catholic church one time, and I'm sure they're not all like this. I was curious, what do they actually do in a Catholic sermon? And the preacher, the priest, I guess, proper name, he started with the Lord's Prayer, and he said it so fast without even taking a breath in between each verse or each phrase. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, adorable one, thy kingdom come. I don't know what anyone thinks that they're going to gain by just rapidly saying words, but I don't get anything out of it. And that's not meant to be a criticism of the priest or the Catholic Church at all. There are some very good people that feel that attending a Catholic church is what they should do. That's their salvation, not mine. I don't want anyone telling me that I should not be studying Christian Science. So it's not my right to tell someone else they shouldn't be doing whatever they're doing. Everyone is working out their own salvation. Like Dale Carnegie said, one of the most successful trainers of people in their making success out of their life. He said, you better not make a strong statement of disagreement with someone, because tomorrow you may be enlightened and agree with them. So you've got to scrape all the egg off of your face and join them. Here is the prayer written by Mary Baker Eddy for her metaphysical college and presented in 1898, 126 years ago, 127. I'm going to choose one of the seven, and when I read it, I will give you the title. One, each of the seven are devoted to each one of the seven synonymous terms for God, which were included in the definitions I read to you. And here it is. This is the Diapason of Heaven for Truth by Mary Baker Eddy. Truth is a sacred name for God. We must divest it of all materiality. Declare often, truth is my God, and my God is truth. Good is my truth, and my truth is good. Truth is enthroned in my consciousness. Error and materiality are not enthroned. This is the Word of God. Amen. It is 25/07/18 at 10:57 on the morning of Friday. And this concludes the prayer treatment, which has been extemporaneous, which is a sample of some of the ideas that someone could include in an hourly prayer treatment. One could even choose to understandingly recite one of the Diapason of Heaven treatments, which takes less than a minute. It's for the purpose of examining consciousness and getting our thought completely on God. This is the end.